Michael Grange joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, Mr. Grange, is this a preview? Knowing that Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics is seeking a second opinion today on a knee injury that appears to be causing a great deal of concern in Boston. Do you think this is a preview of the Eastern Conference Final?
Well, if the Cavaliers stay in third, yeah, I think that's a pretty good bet. You know, I've been back and forth on these guys all year. There's been times when I just thought that they, I thought they're an embarrassment to basketball. Mm-hmm. And at other times, you know, and then, you know, you get Kevin Love back and he looks pretty good in his first game. And a guy named LeBron James, I think his last 10, he's 31, 11 and 9.
Yeah.
Shooting 41% from three. It's hard. It is hard to imagine a team wiping these guys off the floor early, right? So, mm-hmm. I think if I had to bet, I think a Toronto-Cleveland conference final would be a reasonable bet.
What's happened to the Celtics? Is it just, again, I know they've had injuries. We mentioned Kyrie Irving's been out for, what, four games? Of course, Gordon Hayward hasn't been around all year. But, look, they're still a good team, don't get me wrong, and I still think that they have a bigger window of opportunity over these next couple of years than any other team, although I'm beginning to think maybe the 76ers might have to change my mind about that. But what's happened with the Celtics? They don't seem to be the team that everybody fears anymore.
Yeah, they kind of, they hung their hat defensively, and they're still one of the better defensive teams in the league. But they just simply haven't been able to figure out how to score. I should say other teams have kind of found them relatively easy to defend. They're not they're one of the poorer offensive teams in the league relative to, to a top five or six team. And, I think in the NBA, if when injuries crop up, if you have a hard time scoring, people do talk about defense, but in this league now, the way the offense has really kind of become paramount, if you have a hard time scoring, you're going to have a hard time stringing wins together. And I think the other issue there is, as exciting as their future is, and it is a very exciting one, is they're still a young team. They're relying on some, they're starting, a rookie in Jason Tatum, who's fantastic, but he's a rookie. I think when they were on fire, he was shooting like over 50% from three early in the year. And, he's cooled off considerably. Still a, excellent player, but he hasn't done that. And Jaylen Brown is just in the second year, and they've had a very road-heavy schedule post-All-Star break. And, I think you're in the dog days, and I think the guys who are most likely to be affected by that are young players who are kind of in roles they're not experienced with, playing volumes of minutes they're not experienced with. And then you factor in injuries to guys like Marcus Smart and certainly Kyrie Irving, and, problems are going to creep up.
Dwayne Casey talked after last night's game about it being kind of a dead time of the season, said he saw dead heads and dead eyes out there. The Raptors beat the Magic 93-86. They needed Kyle to get it done. I would imagine that in Dwayne Casey's perfect world, Kyle would have been on the bench for the entire fourth quarter. Maybe a little bit too much to expect when you're already without Fred VanVleet and DeMar DeRozan. But how do you think this team is set up now going into tonight's game? They had the loss against Oklahoma City and everything that came with that. It was workmanlike last night, but they beat the Magic 93-86. How do you think this team is set up going into tonight's game?
They're in a tough spot. We've talked a fair bit about schedule and rest, and that is kind of a constant theme in the NBA. But there is this. ESPN's done an amazing job where they've gone through everybody's schedule and identified games. They call them red alert games.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one, right? You're playing third game in four nights, second night of a back-to-back, on the road, against a rested opponent. And these are independent of who the opponents are, who the relative teams are. This is just strictly based on schedule. And this is one that sends up red flares and basically you lose these games about 80% of the time. So, you know, and then you factor in it is Cleveland, et cetera. So it's a bit of a tough one. I mean, you know, what's really interesting, you know, I was just looking at this, and this is the Raptors' 10th game in 16 nights. They're 12th and 19 since March 2nd. You know, they play every other game until the 27th, every other day, basically from now until the 27th. So that'll be 15 games in 26 days. And then they do get a bit of a break before they go to Boston on the 31st. So, you know, there's a good reason that, you know, nine of those games have been on the road or will be on the road. So there's a good reason that you know, Dwayne Casey is referring to his team as dead eyes, dead legs. I mean, that's just a tough, you need some time to recover. They haven't had a practice.
Mm-hmm.
They had one practice in when they were in New York because they played Brooklyn, New York. They had a day off in between. So they did practice on the Monday. And that's it. I think that's their only practice this month. There might have been one other they stuck in there. They've had more days off after back-to-backs than they've had practices, that's for sure. And I think that's why, you know, you know that's the kind of an unspoken thing that a lot of people might not appreciate about pro sports period, but certainly the NBA, is how easy it is for games to get kind of sloppy and you just don't have the time, the practice time to kind of tighten things up and work on little elements. And so it's a real challenge for a coaching staff and for players to, you know, you're basically doing walkthroughs or mm-hmm. video and trying to take that to the floor in competition. And you know, when the games stack up the way they have this month, it's very easy to kind of, you know, your habits could just kind of erode. I mean, that's just inevitable. And it's how little they erode is how you get through it.
What's the biggest difference in facing a Cavaliers team that has Kevin Love in the lineup versus a Cavaliers team that doesn't have Kevin Love in the lineup?
Offensively, Kevin Love is, people kind of forget how really good he is, and he was having a great year until this hand injury just kept him out about 6-8 weeks. You know, he's a legitimate 3-point threat. Like, he's not a guy who can shoot threes. He's a guy who does shoot threes. You know, close to 40% shooter on a high volume. And if you go small, you know, this is a guy who's averaged, he's had seasons where he's averaged 15, 16 rebounds a game. I mean, he's had 30 games in his career. He is one of the most physical, crafty inside players in the league. So he can punish you in either matchup. And he's a smart player. So he's a good passer. The ball doesn't stick with him. He can put it on the floor if the matchup is right. So, you know, defensively, there's, you know, I think he can take a guy like Valanciunas and put him in space and create a lot of problems. And you can, you know, if you want to try and throw a Pascal Siakam on him, well, Kevin Love says thank you, and he's going to take him to the block and punish him down there. So, you know, and I think what's going to be really interesting coming back is he really floundered, and the Cavs floundered when Isaiah Thomas, you know, for that 15-game nightmare, basically. And,
right.
And, you know, because all of a sudden the order was disturbed. But prior to that, you know, it was a pretty clear hierarchy, right? It was LeBron and Kevin Love. They were your 1-2. LeBron obviously being a very unselfish player. And, you know, for all the trouble Cleveland has had, they are, you know, consistently, you know, 1, 2, or 3, the best offense in the league. So I think, you know, I think now that Love is back and their rotation does get tightened up, I mean, this team is not going to scare anyone defensively. Mm-hmm. But they weren't very good defensively in the playoffs last year either. Mm-hmm. They were just the most historically efficient offensively, at least in the Eastern Conference portion. And I think that's probably the identity they're going to shift to.
I'm intrigued in what role you see Lucas Nogueira maybe having in the playoffs. I mean, I thought he was really effective against Oklahoma City when he was in the game. It was interesting. You got the sense that, you know, that Dwayne Casey kind of just decided he liked him a little better than Jakob Poeltl in that particular situation, and went with Nogueira for a bit. And Poeltl seemed to get the message and got back in. But like Siakam, he brings a lot of energy. He obviously has enough of the coach's confidence that he can play significant minutes in close games. But can you see him being a factor in the playoffs, Mike?
Conceivably. I mean, I think the message you're seeing in the last couple of days is, you know, there's not that much, you know, I want to say tolerance, but if Jakob Poeltl isn't kind of ready to play at a very, very high level, Casey will go to somebody else. And they have the luxury of having Lucas Nogueira, who, you know, I joke about it, but for any 3 minutes on any given night, he's as good as any center in the NBA. Right? It's yep. Just what's going to happen. Is it that night or what's going to happen in the next 3 minutes? If Poeltl kind of gives, you know, opens the door a crack, then, you know, you give the opportunity for a guy like Nogueira to come. And if that's his night when he seems to be whatever's going on in his head sometimes, and everyone loves the kid. I mean, he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy, but you know, you just never know what exactly he's going to bring. And I think that never know factor is why he's really struggled over time to turn Dwayne Casey's trust, because the never know can be, you know, he shows up and, you know, he picks up 3 fouls in 2 minutes and, you know, he gives you nothing. So, but I think he can be a factor. I think, you know, one thing I've seen the last couple of nights with Poeltl is he struggled in high pick and roll coverage. Right. You know, they keep extending, you know, Shelvin Mack was doing it last night. He kept extending, you know, the taking the pick higher and higher, and Poeltl didn't quite respond. And Nogueira, you know, he gives you a lot more length, and so he can kind of measure that primary ball handle a little better. And maybe that's something they were looking for too, but, it's a great resource. You know, there's very few teams in the NBA who can kind of go to their third big and get game changing performances on any given night.
I'll play a little bit of a game with you. I was thinking of this last night watching, the ceremony for Tracy McGrady. He'd go, if we were putting up a Raptors level of excellence, he would go on it. Would he not?
Yeah. Wow. He's definitely, you know, neck and neck with Vince Carter as the most excellent player the Raptors have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And not to overlook DeMar DeRozan in that conversation, or Kyle Lowry. I think he was really here only 3 years.
Right.
He was happy to get out. He only had one really effective year when he was here.
Okay.
So I don't think he does. Okay. You know, I don't think he does. I mean, I loved him. I mean, he was, man, you know, not to dig up old wounds, but him and Carter in their primes together would have been spectacular. And they would have been a great fit because they're both super unselfish players and great passers. But T-Mac, no, I don't think so. You know, I think there's been enough players, and I think by the time this current era is winding up, I think the standards will be pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And T-Mac will be part of the Raptors' most excellent highlight video.
Right.
But I don't think he's on your level of excellence.
See, one of the things I find really interesting about the success, especially that Kyle and DeMar have had, is how, you're right, it really has kind of raised the bar for this franchise in terms of individual performances, hasn't it? You know, it's kind of, I mean, Stoudemire, Bosch, Carter, McGrady, it's given a little added history to this franchise, I guess.
I agree. I mean, it's something I think about and a lot is, well, not that much, but I do think about it, is, you know, this is an era, right?
Yes.
I think it's safe to call this an era, right? This is going to be 5 straight playoff appearances with essentially the same core, the same coach, same management, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. And, you know, look, it'd be perfect if that era would end with an NBA title. I think in the NBA, as we know, it's a little harder for those things to have the happy endings we all love. But, you know, I think what's going on here is a little bit similar to maybe what happened, you know, with that Blue Jays era, you know, leading up to the World Series times when you had about 10, 11 years of excellence,
right?
And that breeds, a generational type fan base. And so you're servicing not only the fans who are in the building now, it means that 10, 15 years from now, if, you know, when hopefully you don't have to wait that long for another era, but it means that you're drawing on multiple generations of fans who share memories, who share experiences, who can kind of have meaningful debates about who the best Raptor of all time is. And you're talking about putting a statue, of DeMar DeRozan out front. And I do think that's going to happen one day just because of his complete dedication and you know, his excellence and all these other things he stands for. But it does change the history of your team. And I think as much as, you know, it's tempting for a fan base and an organization to go, you know what, like, maybe we aren't going to win a championship with this group, so we should, you know, we should kind of put all our eggs in one basket and try and do what Philly's done or whatever. That was never the time for this franchise. I think the time is this. It's been really, really important for this team to have sustained excellence, and that's what we have right now. And because of all the reasons I just said, you know, you need to be able to have a moment in time where, you know, you got a generation of fans who are can kind of point to and understand what the bar is. And the bar is pretty high, you know, and let's hope that this year, you know, they do make it to the NBA conference finals and maybe even an NBA finals. And you know, that even sets you up better for next year. But you're right. I mean, you know, it's, you know, you know, Jonas Valanciunas, you know, he's going to hold records, or be in the record books. And DeMar DeRozan's going to hold every record conceivable except the ones Kyle Lowry doesn't hold. And,
right.
You know, and, you know, it's pretty special stuff.
So if we're putting together, just for yucks, if we're putting together a thing like the Leafs have with their bench, which I love at the Air Canada Center. Who's going on it right now? If you and I are, if MLSE said Grange and Blair, we're going to give you unlimited resources. We want you to put together a statue. Who, you know, much like the Leafs bench thing. But we're going Stoudemire. You think?
Maybe Stoudemire. I would go Vince.
Yep.
I would go Bosch. Lowry, DeRozan. Dwayne Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Masai Ujiri.
Can't put a GM in the
bench. Maybe Valanciunas.
Oh, come on. Antonio Davis?
I don't even know if we get the five guys.
Andrea, right? Bargnani?
Because I think
Doug Smith?
No, he would not. He might be there as like a body that somebody's stepping over. It'd be a bit dark, but I am a dark person. So yeah, Bargnani would be there just as like, you know, in a fetal position and people are walking over him. But if you're talking about putting guys in bronze,
yeah,
like permanent, the standard's got to be really high. I go Bosch, Vince, Lowry, DeRozan, if JV plays another 5 years here, then maybe just because he's going to hold a bunch of records and, you know, be in every playoff game this era has ever had. I might stop it at four guys right now.
That's outstanding.
I'm not sure
if
you get to five. Yeah.
That's outstanding. I appreciate you doing that. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Take care.
See you, man. Bye.